The Jets win 34-3. Yeah, you heard that right. And to talk about the Jets' big win, we bring in Brian Costello from the New York Post. Brian Costello Report, sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by CSEA Local 830. We work for you, by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer, and by Digital Ally, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium. Capture truth. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good, Lori. How you doing?
You know what? Maybe I saw a win coming, but did you see 34-3 Jets coming?
No, I don't know if anyone could say they saw that coming. I don't know if Adam Gase would tell you he saw that coming, or Sam Darnold, or Jamal Adams are the most confident Jets fan out there. Like you said, I thought they'd win. I predicted a win in the paper, but I thought it'd be a close game, and I thought the Raiders would score some points. I think that was the most shocking thing to me, was just how the Jets defense completely shut the Raiders down.
All right, so let's start there. Jets defense, and I think we've been talking about this for a while. We know that there have been injuries. There's lacking in talent. But what is Greg Williams doing out there? You know, even if we chalk this up to saying the Raiders are not going to play this poorly on most days, but Greg Williams doing something right.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And like you mentioned, the injuries, you know, they've worked a lot of inside linebackers this year. They lost a lot of cornerbacks this year. It hasn't really mattered. He's done a good job of figuring ways out to stop the other team. And, you know, today, Josh Jacobs coming in against the Jets, the Raiders' rookie running back. He got, you know, close to 1,000 yards. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year, and the Jets held him to 34 yards his season low. Just playing really impressive team defense, Lori. They swarm to the ball. They make tackles. If they miss a tackle, it feels like there's a guy right behind them to make the tackle. They don't give up many big plays. I think the longest play the Raiders had was 19 yards, which is huge, you know, to restrict those explosive plays. And we haven't really seen, you know, they haven't given up a lot of big plays this season, if you think about it. Odell in week two at Cleveland, Leonard Fournette had a long run on them, a few other ones. But they've really limited the big play. And, you know, he disguises stuff really well. And I think they've got some young, hungry players out there who, you know, maybe they're not household names like Bless Austin and Arthur Mollett, but these guys are playing hard. And like I said about the tackling, these guys have been really good just bringing people to the ground.
All right, you mentioned Bless Austin and Mollett. This season, the Jets were hoping for that this wasn't about just developing young players. This was about an overall better result, to be a competitive team, to maybe even be a fringe wildcard team. But yeah, when we talk about the development of young players, and so much was the thought process was offensive side of the ball, are players like Bless Austin, is this just, hey, we're filling in right now because there have been so many injuries? Or can you see players like this legitimately being a part of the core that goes forward?
Well, I think Austin could be part of the core. You know, it's still early. He's played 2.5 games, but he's played well. And, you know, he's an interesting guy. They just took a flyer on him in the draft, taking him in the 6th round. He had 2 bad knee injuries at Rutgers, one that basically wiped out his entire season last year. And he came in, and he really could do nothing in the spring or summer for the Jets and the first 8 weeks of the season. You know, this was a guy, you know, we'd be out there watching practice, and he'd be on the other field running. You know, that's all you really saw. See, I don't think the Jets really knew what they had in him. And then he came in, and he practiced for a couple of weeks before they activated him. And, you know, Adam Gase just said he was just great on scout team. You know, the Jets' offense was having a hard time completing passes against him. And so when they activated him, and then Nate Harrison was struggling against the Giants, and he came in, and he's done a really good job. And, you know, I thought the last 2 weeks against the Giants and Redskins, it's, you know, rookie quarterbacks,
right,
teams that aren't that great.
Sure.
We know all the players the Giants were missing.
Sure.
So, you know, now he comes in against the Raiders. They're a real legit offense. You know, Carr's a legit quarterback. And they stood up to the test against the Raiders. So, you know, it's impressive what Bless Austin has done.
Talking to Brian Costello from The Post about the Jets, who are on a 3-game win streak, impressive win 34-3 against the Raiders. And the run defense you know, this season you mentioned they shut down Josh Jacobs. That's not really that big a surprise. Just the Jets have been doing it all season on run defense. These are not the biggest, best-known names in the league. And the question is, you know, how much of this is scheme? And how, you know, there's scheme, there's and coaching, that aspect of it. But I just want to know, with these kind of names, how much of this is about effort and that the coaches are getting, you know, when you're talking about playing that kind of run defense, you know, it strikes me that at least some of it is just flat-out effort.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's effort with run defense. You know, I only think you can scheme so much against the run.
Yep.
But it's really about, you know, like I said before, swarming to the ball. You see these guys don't get many big lanes to run through. They kind of close the lanes really quick. I think Jacobs had one 15-yard run in the game. But other than that, there's just not much space to run, and they're just kind of flying to the ball, and it starts the defensive line, kind of neutralizing the line, but then the linebackers and the DBs are flying to the ball, too, and making good tackles. I mean, we talked about Bless Austin. He showed he can hit on Sunday. You know, he that hit on Hunter Renfro was really tough,
yeah.
And he's up making tackles. Arthur Mollette made tackles. We know Jamal Adams can make tackles, and Marcus May is a guy, if they get through, he can make tackles. So they've just been – you don't see a lot of missed tackles with this team. And if you do, there's always someone there to clean it up. So it's been very impressive.
We know Jamal Adams, really the emotional leader of the defense, maybe, you know, of the whole team in some ways. And one of the stories after the game, it sounded like Adams was not happy with the dominance of Raider fans before the game. And this is now becoming a little bit of a theme where the Jets' house isn't really their house. And Jamal Adams doesn't seem happy about that.
Yeah, there were a lot of Raiders fans in the building today, and you know, you kind of expected it. The Raiders
always seem
to bring a lot of fans. and you know, we've seen this before. The Cowboys had a lot of fans in the building.
Giants.
For that game a few weeks ago. Obviously, the Giants, you know, is kind of a weird one.
Yep.
Because it's almost a home game for them. But, you know, and when the Jets came out to warm up on Sunday, they were booed. The Raiders fans were booing them. Because especially what I noticed on this one, Maury, was the Raiders fans were in the building early.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was in there at noon, you know, a little before noon, it was all Raiders fans that were in the building. Jets fans were in the parking lot still, tailgating. And I think once the game started, it actually was probably 50-50, maybe even a little more Jets. But there were plenty
That's
of Jets
still
fans
bad,
there.
Though. For
Once
a home game in New York, you know, it's one thing when you hear that going on in L.A. for the Chargers. But here in New York, we think of the Jets as being decent fans to be dominating like that. That's bad.
I know. I can't blame them. The team's been bad. The tickets cost a lot of money. This is a way to recoup your money. But I will say it's going to be a story going forward now. And they've got a home game against the Dolphins in 2 weeks. The Dolphins sometimes, I would imagine they're traveling very well right now with the state of their team. But then you got the Steelers coming in before Christmas.
Yep.
And, you know, I can remember games where the Steelers fans completely took over the building, where it was terrible towels all over the building. And I can remember one game where Heath Miller was a tight end and he caught a ball and it was huge. It was all you could hear in the stands. It was incredible. So that's going to be the story going into that game is do the Steelers fans take over that building, I think it's December 22nd. It's going to be something to watch because, Jamal was annoyed and Kelvin Beachum was also annoyed and they came in and kind of used it as a rallying cry before the game started.
Well, one player that seems to have gotten the message, Sam Darnold, if he needed to be rallied, 315 yards passing, two TDs passing, another running, and you know, without the turnovers, playing a clean game, and he just looks like a different quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's clicked. He and Gase have clicked. You know, it took a little while, and obviously the mono delayed everything. You know, Sam missing three of the first four games. I think it's kind of slowed everything down. But now it looks like he's understanding the offense. He feels comfortable in it. He's in control. It's become kind of his offense. And making really good decisions. You know, I thought, to me, the story that came with Sam were some of his incompletions, actually, Lori. Like, he just made some good decisions in the red zone. Throw the ball away and take a field goal. You know, he did that in the first half, and it was like, you know, normally I've seen him force the ball there and you know, maybe throws an interception or maybe he gets a sack and takes him out of field goal range. He just made some really smart decisions with the ball, I thought, on Sunday. And, you know, he's just progressed greatly in that area in the last few weeks. And I think he and Gase are on the same page. And I thought Adam Gase had a really good game calling the play Sunday. Mm-hmm. I thought he showed some creativity, you know, the trick play.
Yep.
I thought was fun. And I thought the screen at the 1 yard line to Ryan Griffin put a walk into the end zone, was a great call. And Braxton Berrios with a 69 yard pass that I thought was because of how it was schemed up, you know, got him in open space. So I think, you know, I know Jets fans don't want to give Adam Gase any credit right now, but I thought he deserved some Sunday.
So did Adam Gase, with that play calling, did he suddenly just get smarter over the last few weeks? Or for Jets fans who don't want to give a lot of credit, is this, I know a lot's been made about that meeting that he and Sam Darnold had, where Darnold came into the office and asked for certain plays. What happened to make Adam Gase smarter suddenly?
You know, here's what I don't think people didn't want to hear in September and October, and is sometimes these things take time. And there were a lot of new players on the Jets, a lot of new coaches, and I think they had to get to know each other, learn the offense, and, you know, just get some practice time together. And then they had all these injuries on the line and with Sam. I think it took a little time, and I do think it helped that they got some weaker competition to work against here and get some confidence. And, you know, I think that we can't say that doesn't help at all, because I was saying, you know, when they were playing the tough teams, that was part of the factor. But I just think, you know, they've had time to work and things have clicked right now for them. And, you know, we'll see how if they can keep it going and ride this wave for a little while longer.
And Robbie Anderson, we had a Robbie Anderson sighting in this game. Turns out he's still on the team, and four catches, 86 yards, a touchdown, 31 yarder as part of that. There was a point in the season, Jets fans saying, where is Robbie Anderson? Why aren't they throwing the ball down the field? And now suddenly, you know, is it just that it's a ripple effect? When you start to hit some of those shorter passes, it opens up, opens things up downfield?
Yeah, I think that's some of it. Because if you watched the Miami game a few weeks ago, he was double covered on almost every play. They were rolling the safety to him on every play. And I think the Jets have wanted to get the ball to Robbie. And, you know, even last week in Washington, he had a really long gain, but it was wiped out by a penalty. So at the end of the game, you'll get the stats, like, oh, one catch for 6 yards and with a touchdown. But he had a long gain wiped out by a penalty. I just think people have been, since that Cowboys game when he had the really long touchdown, they've just been paying a lot of attention to him and making sure he didn't beat them deep. So, you know, and the Jets offense for a while was doing nothing, so they could do that. And that, now other things are working, and, you know, he was open today, and they got the ball to Le'Veon too early, threw him some passes. So, you know, everything kind of works off of the other thing. If one thing starts working, other, you know, like you said, it's a ripple effect, and other things start going well.
A few weeks ago, when the Jets beat the Giants, Sam Darnold made the comment about, well, you know, now let's win out and we'll go 9-7 and we'll make the playoffs, or we'll be in the playoff hunt. And we all laughed. And now they're not close to that yet. They've won, but they've won three in a row. And there is a nasty looking game against the Ravens still looming on the schedule. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, the Bills are a tough team. What's next? Does this team believe in Sam and his win out statement?
I think they're really, you know, this is the cliche that I hate hearing, is one week at a time.
Yeah.
I think they're really into that right now, Lauren. I think they've really bought into that. I think Gase is selling that. I think when they were 1-7, that was the message. It's like, you can't look at this thing as a chunk. You have to look at, you know, one play, one series, one game. And I think they've kind of bought into that. For me, this feels like, you know how when July every year we talk about, like, the Mets, should they be sellers, you know, buyers or sellers?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, they're only 7 games out of the wild card. oh, but there's eight teams in front of them. Mm-hmm. Like, so right now the Jets are at that stage. Like, yes, they are technically two games out of the last wild card spot, which is crazy to think about at 4-7. But if you actually look at it, there's like, you know, they're like 13th in the AFC. Today was their first win in the AFC. So that, like, you have to remember that. That's a big tiebreaker when it comes down to things. They have one win in their conference, zero wins in their division. So any playoff talk is premature. But I do think the players, you know, I thought that was a, you know, Sam got like mocked for that, but that's how you have to think if you're a player. Like, they don't think they're going to lose any games. They kind of think they're going to win out. And so if they want to hope about the playoffs, let them hope. But for fans, I would just wait, you know, let's see them win a few more games before we start talking about the playoffs.
All right, so you're saying there's a chance. Sam Darnold and the Jets, big win against the Raiders. And Brian Costello, thanks for staying up with us. We'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, Lori, thanks for having me.